This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock. Coming up this afternoon, obviously, we're starting to look ahead to the weekend. It's inevitable Thursday afternoon. People already thinking about what they're going to do over the weekend. The Championship weekend gets underway tomorrow evening, Friday night, at the Den, as Millwall host Nottingham Forest. We'll also be looking ahead to a lot of the other Championship fixtures, some pretty significant ones. Huddersfield take on Leeds. Maybe a bigger fixture for Huddersfield than it is for Leeds, but we'll get the perspective from Ellen Road later in the hour. We'll also be talking about some of the other big games. We'll have Dom Betts from the Fulhamish podcast in the studio this afternoon to look ahead to some of the big fixtures over the weekend. His side, Fulham, take on Bristol City. Looks like a pretty tasty encounter. We'll also talk a bit about Sheffield Wednesday as well. If you want to get in touch, call us an 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp here on the Championship Fan Show. That number again, 0208 7020 558. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, we want to hear from you this afternoon talking about your Championship club. Obviously, so much to talk about in the Championship. We talk about, and obviously I'm a bit biased as I'm a Premier League fan, that there's always something to talk about in the Premier League. There most certainly is always something to talk about in the Championship. So make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. Let's just do a rundown then of all the games to come. It may be Thursday, and we may still have one more day of the working week, but you can't help but already start thinking ahead to the weekend. So let's just have a rundown of all of the Championship fixtures to come this weekend. So it starts off tomorrow night, as I mentioned, at the Den. Millwall against Nottingham Forest. Millwall in 13th. They take on Nottingham Forest, who are all the way up in 4th place and have a game in hand. So things are going pretty well for Sabri Lamouche's side, but sure to be a tough test for Forest away at Millwall. Then into Saturday's action. A derby game up first at lunchtime. Huddersfield take on Leeds. We've been talking about that a little bit this week, and the feeling is that for Huddersfield fans, it's a bigger game for them than it is for Leeds fans. And Huddersfield looking to bounce back after a drubbing at the hands of Bristol City. They lost 5-2 last weekend, so they're looking to bounce back in pretty good style against the side that are currently occupying second place. They batter Middlesbrough. We'll be talking more about Leeds. Could Eddie Nketiah be moving on to another Championship club in January? Supposedly not happy that he's not been starting as much as he would have liked behind Patrick Bamford. Bristol City supposedly in the race to sign him. Could Rian Brewster maybe make a loan move from Liverpool to Leeds in January? Also, Leeds fans have got an FA Cup third round draw away at Arsenal to look forward to in January. Then on to the other kickoffs. Blackburn take on Derby. Wayne Rooney will be in the dugout again. Obviously, his first appearance as a coach for Derby was last weekend's draw at home against QPR. Cardiff take on Barnsley. Both sides have recently appointed new managers. Neil Harris has made a really good start to life as the Cardiff manager, even though when he was first announced, there was quite a lot of negativity surrounding his appointment. I'm sure he would have won over a lot of fans. It reminds me of when Mark Bowen was appointed by Reading, that they were just... there was so negative about that appointment, didn't give any backing to him. But the fickle nature of football is the fact that as a manager, if you win a couple of games, you're suddenly God's gift. You lose a couple of games, you need to be sacked. That's the nature of modern day football. But Neil Harris's side will host Gerhard Struber's Barnsley, who won their first game since the opening weekend of the season against Hull last weekend. It had been against Fulham in the early part of August, the last time they won. I remember we spoke to Carlo from the Reds Report earlier in the week, and for once he could sit there on a Monday afternoon looking back at a winning weekend rather than a losing or drawing one, which is what he could have only done since the opening weekend of the season. Talking of Fulham, as I mentioned, they host Bristol City at Craven Cottage. Fulham in great form at the moment. They've accelerated up the table. They're up into third place in the championship table after four straight wins, but they are heading into a difficult period before Christmas, and they face a lot of sides in the top 10 of the championship. So some tough games, and a home to Bristol City, who are just a couple of places below them in the table, will certainly be a test. Hull take on Stoke. Obviously, Stoke are still in the relegation, so Michael O'Neill won his first couple of games in charge of Stoke, but has lost the last couple, so they'll be looking to get back to winning ways. Hull, disappointingly, they go from beating Preston 4-0 to a matter of days later losing at bottom place Barnsley. It just shows the crazy nature of the championship this season. Luton, what horrible form they are in. They are really slipping down the table. They got battered 7-0 by Brentford last weekend. They'll be looking to bounce back at home against Wigan. That's a really important clash, both sides in and around the relegation zone. So really important game for both of those sides. Middlesbrough against Charlton. Jonathan Woodgate continues to be under pressure. They lost heavily at Leeds, one of Jonathan Woodgate's other former sides. The pressure ramping up. They host Lee Bowyer's Charlton. QPR take on Preston. QPR, it was only about a month ago that they were right up there in and around the top six. Their form has really dipped, despite the fact that the likes of Jordan Hugill, Naki Wells, Eberechi Eze have all been contributing, but QPR's form has been pretty poor, as it has been for Preston. They've slipped down to six. It only felt like a couple of weeks ago they were in the top two, so some poor form for both of those sides that they'll be hoping to change. At the Medeski, it's Reading against Birmingham. Reading's form has turned around since Mark Bowen took over from José Gómez. Birmingham, who have appointed Pep Clote as their new head coach permanently, he's been the caretaker or interim boss for the last 6 months, but he does take over now permanently. Now, how long that lasts in football, who knows? But Birmingham steadily going along, not really creating many headlines, but that's a game at the Medeski. Sheffield Wednesday take on Brentford. Sheffield Wednesday have said that the EFL charge against them for selling their stadium to owner Dejvan Chansiri is unlawful. So they're not too happy with that. So more fallout is set to come from that. There's a potential transfer ban looming over Sheffield Wednesday for January, but we're going to have to wait and see as to what really unfolds there. They host Brentford, who, as I mentioned, off the back of a 7-0 win at home against Luton last weekend. I'm sure their fans will be pretty much up for this. And Brentford are an example of a side that early doors, a lot was expected of them, and people were talking them up. They struggled with that early pressure, early doors, and were very inconsistent. But their recent form is fantastic, and it means that they are sat just one place and 1 point off the top six. So their form has most definitely turned around. And then finally, one more game to come is on the Sunday, and it sees the top of the table, West Brom. They take on Swansea on Sunday. Swansea's form has been poor. They haven't won in any of their last four games, and it's a pretty tough one to try and get back to winning form away at the leaders in the Championship, who've lost just one game all season. The Championship season this season has been dogged by so much inconsistency. West Brom have bucked the trend, maybe Leeds have as well, but the fact they've only lost one game all season shows that they are in pretty good form. And remember, actually, we'll have plenty of midweek fixtures next week as well, on Tuesday and Wednesday night of next week, a full fixture list. So plenty of games to be talking about every single day, really, here on the Championship Fan Show. Looking at the table as it stands, obviously, West Brom are sat top, five straight wins, as it is for Leeds. West Brom top on 42 points. Leeds just a couple of points behind them on 40. Fulham are one of the most informed sides behind the top two. They've won their last four. They're in third on 35 points. Nottingham Forest, 3 points behind them in fourth, but they do have that game in hand after their game against Reading at home earlier in the season was postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. Bristol City are on the same number of points as Forest. They're in fifth. Preston on 31 in sixth. Brentford and Swansea City just hanging outside, just a point behind the top six. Down near the bottom, Barnsley are still sat at the bottom of the table on 12 points, but that first win under Gerhard Struber and their first win since the opening weekend of the season could be rather significant for them as they try to move up the table. Stoke City, they won their first two games under Michael O'Neill, lost the last couple there, in second from bottom on 14 points. 2 points and a place above them are Wigan. No wins in their last five. Luton are sat just one place and 1 point above the relegation zone. Also on 17 points are Middlesbrough. Huddersfield also slightly being brought back into it. Things were looking decent under Danny Cowley, but they haven't won any of their last four games, so they're being sucked back into that relegation battle. I've said it quite a lot this week, and I firmly believe it, that the next 5 weeks until the new year, until kind of FA Cup weekend, which is for Premier League sides as well as Championship clubs, the time where things relax a little bit and the fixtures just slow up a little bit, I think we will know where each team is heading, what they're going to be fighting for, who's going to be really in the fight for the top two, who's really going to be in the fight for the playoffs, and who is at risk of being relegated. These next 5-6 games, we've got four more, I think it is, before Christmas, and then obviously plenty more in the new year period. So it's going to be a crucial period for a lot of sides up and down at the Championship table to see how they're going. In terms of the top scorers, maybe no surprise to see that it's Alexander Mitrovic at the top of the scoring list. He's on 15 goals. He probably is far too good for this level, and Fulham will be very grateful that they managed to keep hold of him over the summer. But he is dominating. What's really interesting is, other than Ollie Watkins, who's the joint second highest goal scorer and 12 goals, you look at the other three in the top five, and they're not for clubs who are right up there in the top six or seven. You've got Jarrod Byrne on 12 goals for Hull. You've got Carlin Grant for Huddersfield on 11 goals. You've got Bradley Dack in fifth on 9 goals. So it shows that there are plenty of players here contributing who aren't right up there. You look at West Brom and Leeds, there's no one in the top 10 from either of those sides. The top goal scorer from either West Brom or Leeds is Patrick Bamford on 7. And yet, there's been quite a lot of criticism for Patrick Bamford from certain parts of the Leeds faithful, that they've wanted Eddie Nketiah to start over Bamford. And yet, he's the top goal scorer of any of the top two. Matt Phillips is West Brom's highest goal scorer on 6 goals. So really, really interesting that the top two sides, who are the best two sides quite considerably at the moment in West Brom and then Leeds, that none of their players get in the top 10 of goal scorers. And yet you've got guys like Jarrod Byrne, Carlin Grant, Bradley Dack, who I'm sure all three of those guys will be attracting interest in January. Now, whether that's from Premier League clubs or higher end Championship clubs, I'm sure there will be. And if not, they should be. Because if those players can produce numbers like that in pretty average or poor sides in the Championship, they can most certainly go up another level. If you've got any views on that, could the likes of Jarrod Byrne, Carlin Grant, Bradley Dack be making moves in January? Should Premier League clubs be coming in for these types of players? Call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Hillsport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. Later in the hour, we're going to have Don Betts in the studio from the Fulhamish podcast, looking ahead to some of the big games over the weekend, including Fulham's clash at home against Bristol City. But up next, we'll be talking all things Leeds.
Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock on this Thursday afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in touch, share your views on your Championship club, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. We're going to talk a bit about Fulham and Sheffield Wednesday later in the hour, but now we're going to be talking all things Leeds. And I'm delighted to say we are joined by Kevin Markey, editor of the Leeds United Mad website. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Kevin. I know we spoke on Saturday on The Score, actually, just after Leeds' 4-0 win at home against Middlesbrough. Things are looking pretty good for Leeds there. They're in very, very good form. 5 wins on the trot, 40 points. And there's just a pesky cycle, West Brom, that are in terrific form as well. But I'm assuming Leeds fans will be pretty content with where they're at the moment.
Yeah, good afternoon, Kieran. Yeah, I think content's the word. But then again, we were content this time last season as well. So there's an air of caution around West Yorkshire at the moment. So, you know, we are doing well, as well as we can be expected to do. But there's always that disappointment lingering from the playoffs last season. So we just want to ensure that we just keep this form going now, which is easier said than done with the December fixtures coming thick and fast.
Before you came on, Kevin, I was just going through the top scorers, and it's very interesting to see that there are a number of players from clubs who are bottom half of the table. You're looking at Jarrod Byrne at Hull, Bradley Dack at Blackburn, Carlin Grant at Huddersfield. It amazed me that no one from either Leeds or West Brom is in the top 10 of goal scorers. Patrick Bamford, actually, is the highest goal scorer from anyone from Leeds or West Brom. Does that massively surprise you that there is no one higher than 7 goals and no one higher than Patrick Bamford in the Championship goal scorers from Leeds or West Brom?
Now that you mentioned it, yeah, it is a bit surprising, Kieran, but I think it goes to show that in this league, really, even though it's great to have a goal scorer, you need other things in your armoury as well. And I think we've got the tightest defence in all four leagues at the moment. I think that's prominent in our displays. And even though it's fantastic to have a striker that's going to finish on 20, 25, even 30 goals a season, it doesn't guarantee promotion, unfortunately. Other aspects of your play have got to come into it as well. And I think you've got to have a good... I think it's better to have a good defensive record and maybe share the goals around a little bit. And, yeah, those players that you mentioned, they're all top players who are playing maybe not for top clubs at the moment in this particular league. So it is a bit surprising, but then I don't think it's essential that you need a 20 to 30 goal striker in your side.
I mentioned there about Patrick Bamford obviously being Leeds' top goal scorer this season on 7 goals. There's been a lot of debate at Leeds this season over whether it should be Bamford starting up front or Nketiah. I've heard, and we spoke to a Bristol City guest the other day, saying that there are rumours lingering around at the moment that in theory Nketiah might actually switch a loan move from Leeds to Bristol City. Have you heard anything on that? Do you think there's a chance that Nketiah might not be a Leeds player beyond January?
I think the more that he doesn't start for Leeds United, the more those rumours are going to be around. But yeah, I mean, I'm fairly confident. He was going to play against QPR the other week, but he hurt himself in training, so he missed out there. And literally, he's only just got back to full fitness again now, and he had a sort of 15, 20-minute cameo against Middlesbrough. I think when he's on top form again, he is going to battle Bamford for that number 9 position. And we're only, 19 games in. There's plenty of games to go, yeah. And I think his opportunity will come. I think he just needs to grasp it when he starts a game. And I think he's the sort of player that when he is match fit, which he's getting close to be now, I think he will push Bamford for that number 9. And it's great to have two players fighting for the position. And that's what you need in your squad. And I'm not too concerned, really, about other clubs being interested. We're the ones in the box seat at the moment. And I think he'd be daft to move to another club that's not, battling for those top two places. So I think he'll stay a bit longer, but all will depend on the new regime at Arsenal, I should imagine, as well.
One man that has been linked with a move to Leeds in January is Liverpool striker Rhian Brewster. Now, that would fit in if Eddie Nketiah were to move to another Championship club or even go back to Arsenal, that Brewster might make that loan move to Leeds. In terms of that and also other business, do you think Marcelo Bielsa will actively be looking to do a decent bit of business in January, or do you think it's just a case of if something pops up, then Leeds will go for it? If not, they're absolutely fine with the squad they've got.
Yeah, Bielsa seems quite content at the moment with the squad he's got. Only three main issues that he'll have is obviously the question about Nketiah. Will he stay or will he go in January? Issues about Kessié at the moment. Will he get a ban? So he might have to look at a goalkeeper. And he might have to obviously look at another centre-back as well, because we've only got White and Cooper as our two main centre-backs. So I think they're the three main concerns. Whether he'll do anything in January is another matter, because he always seems happy with the squad he's got. But I think if we're going to do anything, they're going to be the three areas that we will look at in January if we need to.
Would you, if obviously this is a hypothetical and Nketiah has impressed, but if Nketiah were to move on or even return back to Arsenal and Rhian Brewster would join on loan, would you be happy to see him come in January?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about Brewster at Liverpool. I think an up-and-coming striker like Nketiah, like Brewster, would benefit from a loan spell at a club like Leeds United in the Championship. So if Nketiah does move on, which would be a shame, I think Brewster would be a good sort of alternative. So, yeah, I mean, I'd be excited by that. But then again, I'd be excited by the fact if Nketiah stays as well, because Bielsa has mentioned in a previous presser that he'd be happy for not only for Nketiah to stay to the end of the season, but to also stay for a following season as well, which is interesting. So I don't think Nketiah moving on is a big story for us at the moment, but I think if it does happen, then, Brewster is the sort of player that we would look at.
The other day, the third round draw for the FA Cup took place, and Leeds have got a pretty tasty one away at Arsenal, awaiting them in January. I know that Leeds got knocked out very early in the League Cup by Stoke, and that came as a massive surprise, not only because of Leeds squad, but how badly Stoke have done this season. Are you looking at that, and in particular, now that we know the draw and we know who Leeds are going to play in the third round, do you think Marcelo Bielsa should take that seriously and try and go for a little bit of a cup run? Or would you be saying, especially getting a Premier League side, prioritise on promotion? Because for so many years now, people have been talking about when Leeds are going to get back to the Premier League this season, a bit like last season, that Leeds need to take these opportunities and potentially put cup runs to one side for a couple of years.
Ideally, it'd be nice to get promoted and have a nice cup run as well. But I think all Leeds fans, really, the holy grail is to get back to the Premier League. That's the big thing for us. A great trip to Arsenal. It's an exciting draw. We've drawn them a couple of times over the last few years. And I think what we should look at the game is, this is what we could have next season. If we get promoted, this is where we will be playing next season, at grounds like this. This should get the squad, this should get Bielsa, this should get the fans excited. But we're not going to be there just for a one-off cup game. We could be there on a regular basis next season for a long time if we get our act together. That's how we should be looking at the game. That it's a trip to the Emirates, and it's a trip that we want to do more than just one visit. We want to do it every season. So that's how we should be looking at it. And hopefully he will take it seriously and field the strong team on the day.
Coming up next for Leeds in the Championship then, Kevin, is a trip to Huddersfield on the weekend. The feeling is that this is a bigger game for Huddersfield than it is for Leeds. How do you look at this game when you play against Huddersfield? Is it still a really important for people up in Leeds, or is it kind of because of where the two sides are in the Championship, it may not take on that much significance?
I think it's a big game, but only for Huddersfield fans, not particularly for Leeds. We just see them as the annoying sort of neighbours just down the road who have happened to be in the Premier League for the last couple of seasons. But I think, they've got a new management there now. Obviously, they'll be keen to get a decent result against us. That'll kickstart their season again. You can throw the form book out the window. It's an old cliche, but in derby games, that's the case. It doesn't really matter what sort of form you're in when you get there. It's going to be rough and tumble all the way. There's going to be a partisan crowd back in their town favourites. They don't particularly like Leeds fans. So it's going to be very noisy. It's going to be very fruity. And if we get away with 3 points, it'll be a fantastic result. But, I think it's more important for people of Huddersfield than it is for Leeds. We want to be playing Manchester United, Chelsea, Arsenal, like I mentioned, and Liverpool next season. We don't want to be bothering with Huddersfield on a regular basis. So hopefully we can put the game to bed on Saturday and just keep this fantastic run going.
And just a quick fire prediction, Kevin, how do you think it's going to play out?
My heart says we'll win quite comfortably 3-0, but my head says it's going to be a tough game, and if we get a draw, that won't be a bad result either.
Thank you for joining us this afternoon, Kevin. That was Kevin Markey, editor of Leeds United Mad website. Plenty of debates around this striker issue. That it's been Bamford v Nketiah. Rumours that Nketiah might potentially go on loan somewhere else. Could Rhian Brewster be moving on loan from Liverpool to Leeds in January? Leeds have got a third round FA Cup draw away at Arsenal to look forward to in January, and a game away at Huddersfield this weekend, which maybe it's a bigger game currently for Huddersfield fans than it may be for Leeds fans. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. We'll be back after this.
This is Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. We're going to be talking about Fulham and a lot of the other fixtures coming up. Don Betts has joined me in the studio, Love Sport's very own, and from the Fulhamish podcast. Let's talk about your beloved Fulham then first. At home against Bristol City, we talked about 3 weeks ago about this tough run that Fulham had before Christmas. Now, they've got some very tough fixtures between now and Christmas Day, or between now and Boxing Day, but they head into it in the absolute perfect form. Four wins on the trot, apart from the top two. That's absolutely unheard of this season.
Yes, yeah, it's every team sort of... If you're looking at, let's say, QPR and Charlton, let's say, now they're seeing as, or could they push for the top six, and now they're lingering, what, 16th, 17th near the relegation zone. So, as you said, if you just pick a bit of run of form, I think we've got four wins on the bounce now, and we're obviously up to third, and, you know, we've got a gap over the team in fourth. So, I think, yeah, these run of Christmas, I said it on the Fulham fan show, like, it won't define our season, but it'll define what we can challenge for this season, if that makes sense. I think these run of games, we'll find out whether we're top two contenders or just top six contenders, because, you know, as you said, Bristol City, Leeds, Preston, Brentford, all before Christmas, yeah. And these are all teams going to be pushing for the top six and the top two. And I think, yeah, the run of form we're on, we look like we finally found a structure and a system that Scott Parker wants to play. You know, there's a lot of change at the beginning. Obviously, everything was made about that Stoke away game where we had, you know, Caviera and Knockhart at wing-backs. We had, obviously, Abubakar Kamara coming to the side now, looking very, very good for once, as you might say. But no, I think that these runs, if anything, I think Fulham are more suited to playing the better sides, because we know they're not just going to sit back, put 10 men behind the ball and, you know, let us have the ball. They're going to want to come out and attack us, which allows us to sort of play our game, because, you know, we get in behind the likes of Kamara and Caviera, get them interested, hold the ball up. So, yeah, I think, you know, as I said, two back-to-back away wins now as well with Swansea and Birmingham. So, I think, yeah, we're in a very good position here, and I think it's all on this Leeds game on the 21st of December, really. Because if it is what it is now, then, and we beat them, we're only 2 points behind them. So, I think it's not about... It is about what results we get, but it's about just being in touch of that top two when it goes into Christmas, really.
A lot has been made of Alexander Mitrovic, and rightly so, because he's been, well, statistically, it'll tell you, but probably if you watch the games, the best player in the Championship so far this season. But actually, maybe there should be more attention put on the other end. Marat Rodak in goal last season, I mean, it was quite comical, actually, the way that the circus went with Fulham goalkeepers. But Rodak seems to have come in now, he's replaced Bettinelli, and seems at this moment in time that he's nailed down that jersey. Do you think that's a long-term thing, or are you worried that even though at the moment it might seem okay, in a couple of months it may be a completely different story?
I think it does seem a long-term thing. It seems when Bettinelli and Button were sort of challenging for the goalkeeping position in the Championship that they were sort of neck and neck, and they, you know, you couldn't choose between the two, that someone would always make a mistake, the other one would come back in. But Rodak hasn't made that mistake yet. He's got the command of his area, which is something you always said Bettinelli had. He said, oh, that's why you bring him in, because he's got the command of his box, he's got the command of his back four. Well, Marek Rodak has that. I was never an advocate of him coming, because I'm not an advocate of changing a goalkeeper so much anyway, because the last time Fulham kept with the same goalkeeper for an entire season was probably Mark Schwarzer. So I think, yeah, Rodak's been a breath of fresh air since he's come into the side. I think another player who's really improved so far is Dennis Odoi at right back. You know, we looked at the right back as an issue, you know, who's going to play there, you know, as we missed Fredericks the last season and a half. But yeah, I think Dennis Odoi's played really well. Mawson had a really good game against Swansea. I think Johansson, when he doesn't need to play that box to box role, is actually a very good holding midfielder, with Kearney and then Bobby Reid going forward. So everyone will point about Mitchell, because his goal scoring record is quite funny and ridiculous. I think for club and country, he's got 23 goals already. But I think that for us, the team is looking a lot more balanced now. It isn't just give the ball to Kearney and Mitchell, which is not for the best.
So let's look at a couple of the other fixtures. One fixture that jumps out to me this weekend, West Brom against Swansea. That's on Sunday lunchtime. The Baggies have been the most consistent bunch so far. They've only lost one game in their first 19, looking very impressive. I know at the start of the season you said that they were your favourites to go up. They play Swansea, who are now out of form, no win in their last four games. This is a pretty big one, and I think we'll learn a lot about Swansea. Do you think that they're now falling out of contention for top six, and do you think West Brom are as close as you can say to being nailed on for a top two spot?
Yeah, I think pretty much if you're looking at the league as it is. And I think Swansea were always going to drop off. Everyone looked at them at the start of the season and sort of thought they were playing. But if you look at their squad isn't good enough to go up, as far as I'm concerned. And from what I saw on Friday, they play some nice football, but they just don't have the clinical edge to them. They don't have... I know Charlie Austin hasn't scored the goals for West Brom this season, but they don't have, you know, the Charlie Austin. Fulham have Mitrovic. You know, Leeds have the likes of Bamford and Ketcher. I don't see that with Swansea, and I think if you're going to go anywhere in the Championship, you need a talisman up top. I don't think you can do it without it. You know, Cardiff, when they up had, was it Zakore? You know, you need that striker. You know, Dwight Gayle has done it for West Brom last year. Yes, they didn't go up, but he was their talisman. When Newcastle went up, Dwight Gayle was their talisman. You need that striker. You know, Wolves, when they went up, was it Leal? Was that one of the Portuguese strikers?
Bonatini,
that was it. There's always a talisman and you need it. It's a bit like in the Premier League. If you want to win the title, there's always a leader at the back. You always have a Vidic, a Terry, a company to always win the league for them. And I think when it comes to the Championship, yes, you need a solid defence, but it's all about that talisman up top. And I just don't see that with Swansea. And West Brom, they're not playing like the best, the most exciting football, but they're just so effective with the way they play, and they always seem to get the result they need.
It's interesting you mentioned top scorers there, because it's something we've talked about in the show today. That looking at it is incredibly surprising, looking at not just the top five, but the top 10. Now, obviously, you have Mitrovic at the top. Third place Fulham, 15 goals. Ollie Watkins is joined second, 12 goals, Brentford. The other three in the top five, Jarrod Byrne for Hull, 12 goals. Carlin Grant, fourth, 11 goals. Bradley Dack, fifth, on 9. No West Brom or Leeds player in the top 10. What does that tell you? Does that say that they are spreading it around and that's fine? Or does it suggest something else? Or maybe it's just a massive compliment to some of these guys that in poor sides, they're still contributing massively kind of brilliant numbers.
I think if you look at someone like Ollie Watkins, his goals are coming bursts. He's not consistently scoring. He scored twos, braces, he scored hat-tricks. So I think they've come in spells. But also, he has been very good for Brentford, there's no denying that. And obviously, they're pushing for the top six now. So I think when it comes to West Brom and Leeds, I think, especially West Brom, they don't have lots of goals in them, but they just have enough goals to get them over the line. And I think, you know, I think they're in a very effective side. And when you've got a manager like Slaven Bilic, who is probably the best manager in the league, you're going to do well. Like, I think if, let's say, Fulham's manager was Slaven Bilic at this moment in time, we'd be running away with the league. Because I'd argue our squad is probably better than West Brom's. But, you know, Scott Parker's first managerial job, you know, he's doing a perfectly fine job. We're third in the league going into the middle of December, which most Fulham fans would have 100% taken, because it's very weird to see Fulham play well in the first 6 months of a season. But I think that, yes, they don't have this talisman, which then, if the goals were to drop in midfield, would there then be a problem? I don't know. I just do think, to be that best team in the Championship, to get that top two, you do need that talisman up top, because you need that striker to get you out of holes. Mitrovic has done it plenty of time this season. So I think that, yes, they're doing very, very well. But again, this Championship season, I don't think anyone's nailed on for top two yet. It may possibly West Brom, but anyone's still in with a fan. You've seen how much the table has already changed this season so far.
Looking at the other end, most sides have now changed their manager. So Barnsley have gone to Gerhard Struber. Stoke have gone to Michael O'Neill. Huddersfield have gone to Danny Cowley. Reading have gone to Mark Burns. So plenty of clubs have changed down there. One club that hasn't, or a few clubs, Middlesbrough in particular, do you think they'll be looking at other clubs? Some clubs that have had a real bounce since they've had a new manager come in. Where they are at the moment, they keep saying they're going to remain patient, they're going to stick with a club legend. If they're in this position by January, will they follow suit from other clubs, change manager, or do you think they're going to stick with Woodgate until it really looks pretty dreadful towards the second half of the season?
I think if they believe Woodgate can keep them in the Championship, he'll get toward the end of the season, and then they'll make a change. I just can't see him making a change and getting rid of a legend like Woodgate. Yes, they've been very, very poor, albeit I think recently they look like they finally can score some goals. A few weeks ago, they obviously scored two against Hull City. But I think that if they don't look like they're going down, which I don't think they will, I think they've got enough quality to stay up. Yes, they should be challenging for top six and not challenging for trying to stay in the Championship, but I think they'll give them to the end of the season, move them aside and bring someone in to start a new project. I can't quite see Middlesbrough bringing in a new manager. A team I can see bringing a new manager is Luton Town. I think Luton will end up bidding off Graham Jones and getting someone else in, because, you know, they need to stay up and it doesn't look like they are. You know, conceding 7 goals away at Brentford. I know Brentford are a good side, but Brentford weren't exactly mesmerising in that game. They weren't like the best performance the Championship's ever seen. Luton were shooting themselves in the foot every 5 seconds.
And just finally, going back to your club, Fulham, the FA Cup, Theron Joel, we talked with Lee, a Leeds guest, just a few moments ago about their trip to Arsenal in the third round. For Fulham, it's a home game against Villa right at the beginning of January. How do you view the FA Cup? I know Fulham were knocked out by Southampton early on in the League Cup. Realistically, do you look at it and think, if Fulham win, great. If they go out, well, it's not really going to affect us because it's all about getting promotion back into the Premier League? Or do you view it as, let's take it seriously, because if you win a few games, get on a little bit of a run, that can, in some ways, aid your league form?
Yeah, I don't see any reason to just disregard it. I'm more annoyed that it's quite a fairly boring draw. You know, I would have liked to new ground away from home for fans to go to. That's always quite fun. We all seem to get quite fairly boring draws. I think the last good one we got was Kettering in 2009. But I think that Yeah, why wouldn't... It's your team playing a game of football. Why wouldn't you want them to win it? I never understood why teams are, we don't want to get progress in this tournament. No, it's your football club. You should want them to win every game they're playing in. And for me, I'm fine with progression. There's some little connotations to the game. Obviously, a repeat at the playoff final. Everyone's saying that Villa are doing a Fulham this season. You know, the whole sort of, not fight, but argument who was the better midfielder in the Championship that season. You know, Jack Grealish or Tom Kearney. You know, there's just small sort of connotations to it. But for me, it's just another game and, you know... It'll just keep the momentum going if we're on a good winning run still.
Thank you very much for joining me in the studio. That was Don Betts, Love Sports very own, and part of the Fulhamish podcast. Not just talking about Fulham, but also talking about some of the Championship fixtures to come this weekend. If you want to share your views, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. Up next, we'll be turning our attention to all things Sheffield Wednesday.
Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard. Only 15 more minutes left of the Championship Fan Show. Today, we're going to turn our attention to all things Sheffield Wednesday now. And I'm delighted to say we're joined by James Marrett, Sheffield Wednesday podcaster. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, James. Let's start just quickly talking a bit about off-field issues for Sheffield Wednesday. And they said that the English Football League charge against them for selling their Hillsborough Stadium to their owner, Dejvan Chansiri, to try and avoid breaking spending rules is unlawful. Where are we at with this? Because there are a number of things perhaps hanging over, looming over Sheffield Wednesday, potential transfer bans that could come into action. Where realistically are we up to with this? And is the reality that it's still perhaps going to drag on for a little while?
I think it is going to drag on for a while, yeah. Unfortunately, it's uncharted territory. It's the first time. Obviously, we saw what happened with Birmingham last season. That was a little bit different because that was about signing a player when they were under a transfer embargo. So what we're looking at with Wednesday is whether the sale of the stadium actually fell within the period that the FFP accounts covered, or actually whether or not the stadium sale was done after the kind of cut-off point for those accounts, in which case Sheffield Wednesday would have breached FFP. So it's a bit of a mess. The club completely deny any wrongdoing. They put out a statement yesterday that was quite aggressive, actually. It really came out fighting, saying that they were in touch with the EFL right the way along, that the EFL sanctioned the deal, they knew everything about it, and so they say that the charges that have been brought by the EFL, that they're unlawful. Wednesday are now threatening to countersue. So I don't think there's a resolution to this that is imminent. I think it took 10 months for the Birmingham case last season to be resolved, and that was probably more simple than the one that we're looking at with Wednesday. So I think it could be a while before we see a resolution to this one. In terms of the possible sanctions, there's nothing really off the table. The rules changed a couple of years ago, which kind of mean that the EFL have got a wide range of possible punishments for clubs that breach FFP rules. There's been some discussion of something up to kind of 20-odd points. Birmingham last season got 9. There's a suggestion from some clubs that they think Wednesday should be just automatically relegated. So it's all guesswork at the moment. There's nothing really that we can say with any certainty about with where it's going to go, other than the fact that it's just been a real mess.
It is a messy situation. I'm sure it is going to drag on. Let's talk then about matters on the field, James. Last weekend, a good win for Sheffield Wednesday away at Charlton, who have fallen out of form, and they do have a quite significant injury list, but 2 goals for Stephen Fletcher in that game. A good result after a little bit of indifferent form after that initial bounce from Gary Monk. Good to get back into some winning ways away at Charlton.
Absolutely, yeah. It was a big win for us. You're right that Charlton had some pretty significant injury issues, and that back four, I think, was about as makeshift as they've probably played over the last 2 or 3 seasons. But we've not got a good record there. It's never easy to go to a club that have just been promoted. So it was always going to be a pretty tricky game. I think the good thing for us is we've gone through a period where we've not been winning matches. We've also been conceding really late goals. So when the game's 1-1 heading into the last 10 minutes, I think as fans, we probably kind of feared the worst a little bit. And actually, we saw the opposite happen, which was that we quite deservedly actually scored those 2 goals quite late on in that game, penalty with 10 minutes to go, and then getting the goal that sealed the win in injury time. Big win for us because we have been, I think indifference probably the right phrase for it. We've been playing all right, but we've just not been able to score. In fact, someone mentioned to me earlier that in the last 2 games, we've had 40 shots, and we've only scored four goals. So, you know, clearly, you know, we should be running away with games, and that's not been happening. So I think really important for us to get back to winning ways, and obviously now we've got to keep that going.
Look, just talking about Sheffield Wednesday then in general, as I mentioned, when Gary Monk came in, there was that initial bounce, and that seemed to just wane a little bit, but that has been helped by that victory, as we mentioned, against Charleston. Where Sheffield Wednesday are at the moment, in ninth place, but they are only a couple of points off the top six at the moment. As it stands, and it's seeming in the Championship, it seems to change every couple of games, every couple of weeks. But what is the Sheffield Wednesday aim at this moment in time? Is it a genuine kind of belief that they can definitely finish top six, or are expectations being tempered just a little bit?
I think what we've kind of talked about right at the start of this is certainly playing an effect. And I think for us as fans, we're being a little cautious about where we are in the league, just knowing that there are potential sanctions around the corner. Putting that to one side, if I'm completely honest, I'm not sure that this is a squad that's quite going to be there in terms of finishing the top six. Now, that's not to say that it couldn't happen, and I'm definitely keeping everything crossed that the Wednesday could finish in the top six, and that, you know, hopefully if things go our way with the EFL charge, then, you know, we could end up in the playoffs at the end of the season. But I'm just not sure that the character of the squad's quite there. As I said, we went through that period of conceding lots of late goals, and there's no consistency to the form of this team. I think Gary Monk is going to need one or two transfer windows to start to put a little bit of a stamp on the team and bring in players that are going to match the sort of system that he wants to play. And I think that's when we'll start to see a better idea as to what this Wednesday team is. The strange thing at the moment is that even without the EFL thing hanging over us, I don't think any of us as fans really know what this season is going to be, because we've put in some great performances. We went to Middlesbrough and won 4-1, obviously winning 3-1 at Charlton at the weekend. And then there have been some games where we've really not looked very good. So the season hasn't settled into a pattern for us yet. So it could still go, you know, one of numerous different ways.
And just finally then, James, looking ahead to the weekend on Saturday, obviously these games just come thick and fast in the Championship at the moment. It's at home against Brentford, who are coming off the back of a 7-0 win at home against Luton. These are two sides very, very closely matched in terms of position, just a couple of places between them, just one point between them. This is a really, really good contest to really see where both sides are at. Sheffield Wednesday obviously having the slight advantage of being at home.
Yeah, obviously an attacking team as well, Brentford. I think that it should be a good game of football. Interesting that we both played teams that were promoted last season at the weekend. We'll both be equally happy with our respective results. Great for Brentford to obviously stick 7 past Luton. I think we came back from Charlton feeling just as happy with the 3 points that we got. So it's set up to be, it should be a really exciting game, which means it'll probably be 0-0.
Hopefully for the neutral, it's not. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, James. That was James Marriott, a Sheffield Wednesday podcaster, talking about this messy situation that's currently ongoing with the stadium sale and the EFL charges. So that's still got a little while to run on that. They host Brentford in what's a really good game. Sheffield Wednesday in ninth on 29 points, Brentford in seventh on 30 points. So plenty of intrigue with that game, a pretty close game between Wednesday and Brentford to come this Saturday. So it'll be very, very interesting to see what happens at Hillsborough, not just off the field. Sheffield Wednesday have this transfer ban potentially looming over them. And also on the field, they'll be hoping to back up a win at Charlton last weekend with a win against Brentford this coming Saturday. As I said, they're two very closely matched sides, just two places and 1 point between the two sides. So it should be a really close contest between the two sides. And yeah, we're looking forward to that one. James said there that having said it should be a really good game, it's probably going to end 0-0. But hopefully from the neutral perspective here on the Championship Fan Show, hopefully it's not. And we'll have plenty to talk about on Monday, talking about that game between Sheffield Wednesday and Brentford.
This is Love Sport.